ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And today, we're going to talk about faux pas, poo capsules, and drone racing. And are they all going to be connected? And I'm Starman Norman, and I can see clearly now the rain is gone.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. And I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie. That means that, you know what?
You're Christine.
Christine Marie.
Christine Marie. Yeah,
that's like my rock star name.
What do your friend Marcia call you? She calls you...
CM.
Oh, I was like BM, but once a buyer, right?
Or sometimes she calls me Christina.
Christina Maria.
Christina Maria Teresa.
Yes, your full given Christian name.
Yes. Christina Maria Teresa.
Exactly. And names are kind of sweet, aren't they? Like, they tell a lot about a person, and when you... know someone by a certain name, and then you see them, and you're like, your name does not match you at all. That, it's like jolting.
When I was, before I got married, it was Christina Maria Teresa D'Antoni.
Yes.
And that was me.
That was you.
I can remember actually grieving for a while when I, you know, got married and you know, had to lose my name.
Right.
Because it really was... a match for me, and I still have a hard time being Chris Peters.
Well, you know what,
Chris Peters.
Yeah, not Christina Maria Teresa D'Antoni. No, it's like
Christine Peters.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny.
Who's she? I have no idea who she is.
I was with Doug and Quinn and Joey last night, and Quinn was sharing with me a little bit of a story that she was doing for her boss. Her boss was having his 50th birthday, and they were going to give him a card, and he kept saying his post 50 years, he wants to do this, and this. And I thought, well, like, for you, I mean, like, why can't you take back your D'Antoni name?
Yeah.
You know, like, from this moment on, you've been married this long.
Yeah.
You're going to still stay married.
Yeah.
But however, you're post this, you know?
I would think that what I would like to do then is, you know, as I become an author and other things, I'm just going to go back to my maiden name.
I think that would be awesome.
Because I feel like that's who I am more than who this girl is.
And what we do know is that most likely you got years and years and years ahead of you.
Thanks, Jules. Today I do not feel that way, but
you know, take back your name. Why the hell not?
I know. You know, it is interesting because we found out this week that my Uncle Silvio passed away, and he was you know, my mom passed away in 2011, and my dad passed away in the 80s.
Yeah.
But he was Evo, my dad, and then his brother
Evo,
and Evo Giovanni, and then his brother Aldo passed away, and then Nono, my grandpa Giovanni, he sent back to Italy for a new wife, and his first wife was a redhead and was sort of a kind of a wild girl and would go out to parties and so she had.
How did she pass away?
The word was she went to a party, got drunk, came home but kind of fell asleep before she made it home and got pneumonia. And in those days, pneumonia, you pretty much
gone.
Yeah. And I honestly at this moment cannot think of her name, but my Nono sent away for Ginevra, and then she had Bruno, Silvio, and Mary.
And you said she was a sweet lady.
She was an amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
I'm not sure did your mom get along with her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It was your mom's mom that was kind of, there was a little bit of tension there once in a while.
My mom's mom. I don't even know if they, because one lived in St. Louis, you know, the area, right. And then one lived in Chicago.
Right, right.
So really, you know, I don't recall that, you know, but. Yeah. But no, my Nono was like an angel.
Right.
Seriously, like, you know.
She would have had to. I mean, just to get a phone call, or not even a phone call, a letter, I guess. You know, I mean, I don't know how your grandpa would have sent it for her. By mail?
Yeah.
Like, hey, hey, family, I need a new wife. Exactly. Is there anybody single over there that wants to come to America?
It's exactly how
it
happened.
I got two young boys. Be right. Like, holy cow.
Yeah. And they said that she was just really a nice woman. And for the village, she would spend most of her mornings just going up the hill to bring buckets of water down for people that couldn't do it. I mean, she was that a kind right. woman, you know.
So in so many ways, she's like, this has got to be a better world.
I got to go to America.
I will take care of two young kids, go to America. I don't, you know, see what this is all about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What a champ, though.
And it's interesting because Uncle Silvio was, after my mom passed away, he became kind of the glue for our side of the family, my dad's side of the right. family. Right. And, you know, I was lucky enough to correspond with him at Christmas time, and we exchanged gifts and stuff. And, he was very active in his church. And he had close friends. He was he wasn't an architect, but he was a draftsperson, and he worked from home almost literally all his life, which was not even heard of in those days,
right?
You know, but he lived with his mom,
right,
and his brother, and then very active in church, and was part of the men's choir, and he loved handball. I think it's called handball. I don't know if it's racquetball or handball, but it's, you know, there's like lots of walls in the yes. city of Chicago that you just yes. go and you can.
Yeah, and you only need half of, you don't need much space for handball.
You don't need much space. And yeah. so that's what he loved. And I was surprised because we had corresponded last Christmas, and you and I had just had a talk this week
right.
about what we're going to give him for his Christmas present, you know.
And you had talked and about, then, too, like, maybe Ty doesn't want to do this anymore, like exchange cards.
I did. I was going to send him a letter.
Yeah.
I was corresponding. I was basically kind of constructing a letter that I was going to just send a kind of a greeting card
right.
and say, hey, you know, I release you from, you know, the chocolate covered blueberries that yeah. he used to give us. Yeah. It was like literally every year.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting that we found out that he passed away very, very suddenly.
Right.
But he was in a nursing home.
Right.
So something might have happened, but that we don't know about.
Right.
And but the idea that now Uncle Bruno is still alive. But Silvio, because Bruno married and then his wife died, but Silvio, you know, there's always one person that sort of rises like cream to yeah. the top that is the glue that kind of keeps holding that family
right.
together. And that was Silvio, you know. So it was sad for me in a lot of ways. I can remember this happening when I was younger and my mom saying, and I can't remember who it would have been, but she said, this was the last of the guard, and now it's my generation that are going to start dying off.
Right.
Meaning her generation.
Right.
And, you know, if everything happens in the quote-unquote natural way, right. you know, so she was aware that this was sad, but also that it was, this next guard is the one. And in her family, she lost... There were five Williams, and she lost Uncle Kenny this year, and Uncle Ray, and his wife Aunt Emma.
Yes.
So I mean, they were all Uncle Silvio was 87, and Uncle Ray was 101 or something right. like that. But and Uncle Kenny I think was 91.
Yes.
I mean, they all had a good life.
Right.
But, you know, it really just, you feel the gravity
right.
of how these people would weave a web of family and structure and make you feel like you're still part of a family. And when that person goes, who takes that place, especially in an era of like social media, like I do not participate in that in general.
Right.
And my cousin Lenore said, well, I Facebooked you.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like, oh,
well, okay. I would not know.
Right. And that's the thing too, because the Facebook issue is like the elephant in the room. It's like, we just have to all agree to be on Facebook. And I'm like, have you seen what Facebook's about lately? You know, like, I don't want to agree to any of that stuff.
Yeah, right.
And I would love. Right. And so, you know, you go, I guess it is the easiest way because we no longer keep connecting with people in normal ways.
Yeah, nobody connects. And I still am, you know, a letter writer.
Right.
But I enjoy writing letters. Like my Uncle Kenny's wife is still alive, Aunt Mary Lou.
Right.
And I would like to be able to say things to her than just toss her a card and said, thinking and praying of you. Love, Chris.
Right.
Big deal. Yeah. But I want to talk to her about you, how your Lyme disease is. I mean, I really want to engage in a conversation. I'm not going to write 5 pages, but one. What do? I do 1 page. I make the print big.
Yeah, you type it out.
So she can, you know.
Yeah, which is good.
See it. But I don't know of anybody who does that anymore. I mean, I can remember when I was young, my mom was friends with nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's got to be an app somewhere. Friends with nuns.
Yeah.
You know, that's just got to be an app. That's
and they
a great
were retired.
Name. Yeah.
But twice a year they would give my mom long letters about what they were doing. And I mean, these were people that she had met years ago, and I don't know if in grade school or church or however, but they would, you would get that letter, and then you'd get that letter at Christmas.
Right.
And I remember the year that sister, I think it was Sister Mary Ellen, but she said, Merry Christmas, Loretta and family. This is the first year that I am not physically writing my letter.
Yeah.
I just can't write anymore.
Right.
But she continued, but she had someone else do it for her for a few more years until she passed on. But there's always that moment
when you
realize that, oh wow, something's changed. And on our side of the family, we have Irma,
right,
who is the glue.
Oh, for sure,
to Dad's side of the family.
And I guess it's always a single person sometimes because she's single. She's always been single, and when I was growing up, I mean, like, she was the youngest of my grandmother's siblings. So, she was a teacher.
And she had taught at one school her whole life.
Right. But so she was really important in my life because she would hang out with her sister and my grandmother. And we'd go on, summer vacations together and so forth. And then I just assumed that no one was taking over my place when I got older, and then to find out, oh, there was always somebody in the wings taking up my place, So, I'm like, oh, your other sister's grandmother, grandchild gets to go now because I was the oldest grandchild. And then like, all of a sudden you're like, holy cow, she has had for the last 40 some, years.
Yeah, easy.
She has gone into the new generation and participate in their lives in big ways. Fun ways.
And not only yet, but Irma has because she's part of her church very seriously. And she's like the preacher's kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like the preacher moved away.
Right.
But the kid did not want to go. So Irma
just said, she can stay here.
She'll stay. She can stay
here.
Because
she was a senior in high school
She's really more parental.
She is
in these girls' lives than their own parents are.
And it's so talking about her, when she got married, because I remember she telling the story how the person she took care of her Aunt Irma took care of that senior, that came live with her.
Oh yeah,
and then she got married. She got. Got pregnant kind of early on and got married. And later on, when that marriage didn't work out, she literally kind of adopted the husband because he struggled. Really struggled.
Yeah.
And so, she just fills in.
Is he the
one
that passed away recently?
Yes.
Okay.
She just kind of fills in the blanks for people.
Yeah.
I think of her as like Kris Kardashian.
Oh, okay.
Where she kind of feels responsible for her family bringing other people in. Mm-hmm. And so like she goes, well, I want to make sure I take look into this guy, you mm-hmm. know, or take care of this mm-hmm. person or whatever.
And that used to be a significant thing
yes.
in the old days. Like it was, you know, and we grew up in the church, people that weren't married weren't like, oh, they're closeted gays. No, it was considered they were lay people. They were part of the laity. They were part of the body of the church that did those things.
Right.
Like filled in when parents couldn't, you know, and right. I mean, you actually, it was an office.
Right.
It was considered a role.
It was.
That you did.
Exactly.
And certainly, you know, like Irma, like we think of her sometimes as, oh, we make sure she's not alone or we, but you went on a trip with her in May.
Yeah.
Spent 3 or 4 days with her and, because she's didn't want to drive to Ohio right. and you drove for her, but
right. And she would have had a ton of people, like the person she would have wanted to drive would have taken her was unavailable that weekend. So she was calling down her list, I guess. And I'm like, and she asked me, she says, I'm sure you can't do it. I'm like, I'm not going to say no. You never asked for anything from me.
Yeah, I'm not going to say no to my Aunt Irma.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say no. Of yeah. course.
I go, but it was, but I found interesting is that you said during this trip, oh. there she probably had 50 phone calls
oh my
from
God.
People that were legitimately part of her life
yes.
and were looking to her
for advice.
For advice.
All right, what's going on? Where are the keys? Yeah. Where are this?
Yeah, you and know? See, this is what I think that we miss nowadays,
right.
that there's these matriarchs, not of just your family,
right.
but that we're glue.
Yes.
That the younger people could go to.
Oh, for sure.
For whatever. And
yeah.
I don't know. Facebook doesn't offer that. And I feel sad today. I just feel sad that this is that, and probably that I probably could have had that role, but I really chose to play, I think, small and safe. I think because my mom was so big
right.
and so into everybody's business.
Yeah.
And it was almost, for me, I was hard
right.
to digest that. And especially knowing that that wasn't who I was.
Right.
So I feel like even as a psychotherapist, I can also give lots of good advice and wisdom, but I'm not.
And you're a good listener.
I know. I'm a, yeah.
But
I'm
here's
not
deal.
Irma.
Right.
And
not
I'm not
Irma,
Silvio.
Because
know?
It's sort of, you can do that for other people's family, and that's where your gifts lie. You shouldn't have to do it for your extended family.
Right.
That's not where your gifts lie.
Right.
For a variety of reasons.
Right.
That, you know, we all have gifts. And your gifts are about helping other people.
I know, like, my brother, my remaining brother, I got a call out of the blue this year, early mm-hmm. on in the year, and saying, we're struggling.
Yeah.
I'm ready to leave. Where, you know, I mean, struggling in the marriage.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was like, I would say on a crisis mode, at 10 being like, absolutely get out. They were
right.
probably at a 9.25.
Right.
And so, I gave him some good numbers and places that he could go if he needed to do an intake or whatever. But he chose to, you know, have real counseling, just him by himself with
right.
me for about 3 weeks.
Right.
Daily, you know, and for 2 hours. I mean, and it was, I consider it like one of the highlights of my year.
Yes.
Because first of all, he was really, really open.
Mm-hmm.
You hardly get that from him.
No.
But I think he realized legitimately this was,
right.
this was going to be, and he was like a sponge, really ready to absorb everything that I was, you know, and I, what I did was went beyond boundaries because I knew the family that he grew up in.
Right.
It was like an extra bonus.
Right.
That.
And so you really wouldn't call it therapy in the traditional sense.
No.
But because, and so you, what you did for your brother was give him this huge, give him, because you're intuitive and you know the family dynamics and you know him.
Yeah.
And he was being open because
yes.
it was a crisis.
Yes.
A lot of work got done.
A lot of work got done.
And it
done.
Was daily. And then yeah. then the crisis went away.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted. I really, my hope was,
right.
I kept saying, I want to restabilize this family.
Yes.
And from there,
right.
you know, once we get established a better baseline, then you can do other things.
Right.
And I'm hoping, it seems like it's still working. I'm
yeah.
hoping, you know.
Yeah. Or at least your relationship is back to normal the way it was before.
Yes, exactly.
Which is, you know, he does what he does.
That's right. That's right.
I always think it, when I was growing up, I always assumed that the older you got, the more everything would be smoother in your life. Mm-hmm. And the older I get, the more I realize that's so not true.
Yeah.
But you do hope, and that's what I'm trying to build in my own life, is just this emotional maturity, mm-hmm. or spiritual maturity, that when things get rough, and they always do, mm-hmm. you have the maturity just to handle it. Mm-hmm. Because the more responsibility you have,
the more
maturity you need.
Yeah.
Like Aunt Irma, if she flew off the handle at every one of these situations,
right.
people couldn't call her.
No.
You know.
It's like, oh, what kind of mood is she going to be in now?
I got to soften her
walk on eggshells.
Exactly.
No. Uh-uh.
But because people can come to her and she is the rock, regardless what's going on in her life, mm-hmm. but she is the rock, and you go, wow. And I appreciate that. And that
too.
Process never stops.
Yeah.
Like, that's a goal you always go to.
And as, you know, kind of like the sandwich generation.
Yeah.
You're trying to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You're taking care of your basic needs. You're taking care of those under you.
Right.
And then you're taking care of those above you.
Right.
And sometimes even above them. And it's not that happy of a time. It's not that pleasant of a time.
Right.
And there are moments when you go, and I remember with my mom, I mean, I literally, at night, thank you, because there were moments that I just could not go to the nursing home.
Right.
You know, one more time. And you say, let me do it. And you knew, because you were once removed.
Right.
That it was a bit easier for you.
Exactly.
Than for me.
Right. And that's when you go, nothing is cookie cutter.
No.
You know, when you see commercials and you know, and everybody's so happy and everybody's so joyous. That's not how life is. Life's a lot messier than that. And you can have a great relationship and still it be messier in certain areas.
Yeah. And I saw a commercial this week. And it alluded to, you know, because it was, there's everybody's like, Christmas, what are you going to get for Christmas? And it alluded subtly that, hey, this is a very stressful time of the year.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of have to's. You know, I have to be happy.
Right.
I have to feel, you know, whatever's going on with work or with other family dynamics, I'm supposed to be cheerful.
Right.
I'm supposed to want to have 25 people over.
Right.
And we were listening to somebody, I think it's Bill or Wendy, and he said, about 3 or 4 years ago, me and my wife just decided, oh hell no, not today. We're just going to go out for Thanksgiving. You can come with us. We'll pay for your meal.
Right.
But we don't do this.
We're not cooking. We're not spending all day cooking for this, that.
Right.
And I think too, unless you really enjoy cooking or you bring a dish to pass to the thing, mm-hmm. it just becomes not even cost effective anymore.
No.
To cook a meal when you can go out and like everybody does their own thing for 10, 12 bucks.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, I got 12 bucks on me.
And yeah, nobody's going to be throwing, you know, the salt shaker at somebody else across the table.
Exactly.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
And, you know, the creepy uncle, he's not going to have a feel under the table.
Right.
Exactly. Or kiss you inappropriately.
Oh, gosh. Bringing this up again. I'm slowly changing my view on all this. I'm having to analyze everything about this stuff, but I don't know if I want to talk about it or not, the sexual stuff today.
Oh, right, right.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I want to do that or not.
But just be aware that, you know, in addition to the mix of the stress and everything else, you know, because it's not like, you know, the people that are working out there have a lot of money to spend on Christmas.
No.
And, you know, hey, come on, let's do this and that. And, you know, so people are trying to do it judiciously.
Right.
And then you add the creepy uncle syndrome in. Yeah. It's just one more thing.
Right.
You know?
It is just one more thing.
Yeah.
It's just like... I get maybe is that an app too, the creepy uncle syndrome.
What was the first app? Fun with nuns.
Friends of nuns.
Yeah. Well, I like Funs with Nuns better.
Okay, Funs with Nuns is good too.
Yeah. So we're contemplating. You're probably going to go to the funeral today.
Yes. Yes. I was just thinking about that because I'm a tear. I cry easily. I wish I didn't, but I do. I was talking to Hillary, and she was saying that she got caught crying at work. She had an employee that just came in, just ranted on her, just like let out on her. And she's like, oh my God. She didn't cry in front of her, but she needed a moment. And her boss walked in. She's like, are you okay? And by that time, she had already was releasing this energy. And her husband kind of got mad at her. Like, you cannot be seen crying at work. And I thought to myself, I wish that was true, that people who don't cry, they don't understand. It's not a choice. There is something inside of you, like it's a release of energy,
mm-hmm. and you can't stop it sometimes.
And it's the last thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. Like I was, you know, thinking of going to the funeral today, and I'm like, I don't want to be a big blubbering crybaby mm-hmm. here, because you know, like,
it's but you not, remember Uncle Sylvia,
right? But it's not appropriate. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's appropriate to be that way when you want to talk to other people as well. And so I just don't know. You know, so. It's very interesting. So I've got this. I'm devising a plan in my head. Like, do I bring safety pins along? Because you know, if you stab yourself in the palm of your hand, mm-hmm. sometimes that's enough of a distraction that you're like your brain is not focusing on creating tears.
Right.
You know, you're like, oh, there's pain going on here.
I remember Dad used to do tacks in his shoes.
Yes. Yes, I remember that. And he did that because who, I don't even want to go there. You brought that up. That was wrong. It's a faux pas and a half, you know. Yeah, have you ever, okay, so let's just do this because I want to talk about things that you think are great ideas at the time.
Yeah.
And then you do it, you go, that was the dumbest thing. I don't even know why my brain allowed me to think that this was even a possibility.
Well, this was Dad going to take a lie detector test for
and
a
the
new
reason
job.
For a new job. And he's.
And I had heard that if you distract yourself.
I want to say one thing. I want to know how many in our family's faux pas always, the next sentence is, I have this. Oh, but Chrissy said this may help. I think that's the faux pas part. Oh, well,
Mama said this.
Well, all right. I go, it's got to work. This has got to, it's got to be true.
Thank God I'm not the glue.
Yeah, exactly. Because you'd be using tacks.
Exactly. Or masking tape.
Exactly.
What's that silver stuff? Duct tape.
Duct tape.
Yeah, I'm using duct tape for everything.
Yes. And so here, you're just stapling things together. So he has not done anything bad in his life, but I think as a kid, he might have shoplifted or something like that. And you're like, well, you know, confuse the lie detector by pushing down tacks every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And then they won't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of it, the guy goes.
So Dad had a lie detector test. And every time they said, well, have you stolen before ever? And of course, like, you know, yeah, he did. He'd press really down really hard on the tack in his shoe and say, like, no.
Right.
And then at the end, they go, well, we're not going to hire you because you're either a serial killer or a rapist.
You're like, what? And I'm like, that was a big faux pas, mother.
Faux pas.
You know, huge.
Oops. But I heard that if you had other different sources of pain, it'll distract the lie detector.
Yeah. And I don't think... I just don't know what to tell you. That's so, I mean, I can remember going places and you and I going for a ride and you're going, just take a right here. I go, that's someone's driveway. I go, who cares? I go, it could be a half mile long with no turnaround. And I go, then you always up it. You're like, you know, your father would do this for me. I go, I don't understand. Who did I raise? I must have raised a coward. I'm like, what are you talking about? All I'm asking you to do is to turn here and go up here so I can see what's going on up there. Go, will you please do it? I'm like, you know what? It's not my world anymore, Mom. Okay, I will make this turn, drive up here. And sure enough, it's like a big business. And people are like, what are you doing back here? What are you doing? I go, oh, I must have made a wrong turn. My GPS is wrong. My GPS is wrong. Oh, I'm going to kill you. And I'm like, another faux pas, but you get me into the craziest situations, girlfriend. Like Lucy, yeah, you got some explaining to do.
Mama, you got some explaining to do.
But I just don't know if it's my fault for saying, for cashing that check that you wrote.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or I just like, hey, you know what? It was an adventure.
Yeah.
You know, it was an adventure.
I always consider, like, I like to push it. Like, if I...
Yeah, you
Greg
do.
And I very rarely see each other, but I always imagine, like, if Greg was driving and I said that, he would just, like, go, no way, F you.
Right.
But, you know, you and I were like, we'll have the discussion. And right. Then pretty soon I'm driving down the lane. I'm like, well, this is wild.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, go, is this a dead end?
Right.
Or, and you know, I can remember this one road that we went down kind of led to a reservation.
Right.
And I'm like, well, this may not be like something that
is appropriate.
Because it felt like it was sort of religious in some way.
Right.
Like there were like prayer cloths on like clotheslines and stuff.
So it was, it was a place that we shouldn't have been.
Probably.
You know, well, especially when you said the signs, do not enter, no trespassing.
Right.
And you're like, well.
Our dead end.
Yeah, dead end. And you're like, that can't be for me. Those signs weren't meant for me. I don't read English. You know, I don't know.
What it arouses, though, is like, it arouses a curiosity.
Yeah, how dare they? How dare they? If they don't want me to turn down this road, they go IRS building straight ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, fuck that, I'm not going there. Yeah. Screw that.
I need that.
You know, like, emergent care. Go there. Like, oh, okay, no worries.
I remember that one sign we saw in a hospital. It said, where it's like, go this way. It said, family planning clinic.
Yeah.
And then in the small print, it said, enter in rear. And we thought that was hysterical.
Well, because it's family clinic family planning advice.
Right, yeah.
Enter in rear.
Enter in rear.
And you know, someone who made that sign.
Thank you, Mother of God.
Was like laughing hysterically somewhere down the line. It's sort of like that's a faux pas. And you know, at one point, someone had a good idea. Like, oh, family planning, what's the last word we want to use? Advice.
Advice.
And well, where do you go? Well, you got to enter in the rear.
Yeah.
And like nothing. Straight face, didn't get it, faux pas.
Yeah. The person just checking off the list of things to do.
The secretary who's reading this is going, I'm just secretary.
I'm above my pay grade. Yeah.
It's sort of like the faux pas in Dixon, Illinois with the Scientology Church. No, the Church of Science, what's that church called?
Christian Science.
And everybody probably heard about this. So several years ago, it was being built. And I know at the time, they did not realize that the aerial view of this church that's on a corner and has some big trees, and they're building it around these trees to protect the trees, was literally going to look like a penis.
And a balls.
And balls.
Yeah.
And literally. And so as someone is doing the roof,
we're knowing as Dixonites, the word is getting around that this church is getting to be more testicular and penis like than ever before. And it's just getting grander and bigger.
And I'm sure like the people who designed it didn't know what this was going to look like
from an aerial view.
They didn't know that from an aerial view this is what it was going to look like.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you go on Facebook. And you're like, oh, church looks like a penis from the sky. And then you go.
And then USA Today picked it up.
Yes.
From aerial view.
And then
church
all of a
Dixon,
sudden you see that Bill Maher. You're like, yeah. We're known for.
Penis church.
Yes. We're known for that. We're known for the woman who stole the most money.
Well,
biggest faux pas.
The documentary of that.
All
the Queen's Horses.
Yes.
It came out in. Did it win a Cannes Film Award? Or
I don't know. It might have been nominated. I don't know
but documentary for actually the woman Rita Cromwell she did the largest in our little town at Dixon did the biggest crime city crime and I don't know how many millions of dollars
58 million dollars yeah. 54 in a small little town.
And it's amazing that we still had bridge work done and that we still had our
$20 million in debt though.
And we still built our statue to Reagan because it's a home of Reagan's boyhood home.
Yep.
And it was amazing that we still were able to do all this minus the $58 million that she absconded with. But the documentary is truly, I guess, more focused on this one woman who's been with Dixon for 35, 40 years. Just a worker. And one day, Rita was, doing one of the many things that she does, going to horse shows and
took time off work. Her big faux pas.
That was her faux pas, right?
She had enough, she had a huge amount of hubris and took a faux pas and decided to take a leave of absence. So that means that somebody had to fill her shoes. Mm-hmm. Because in these small towns, the mayor doesn't write the checks.
No.
He has actually the least amount of power, right?
Yeah.
And, And the woman was like, what's this extra account here for?
Yeah.
Why am I getting statements for this account? And why is there $1 million in this account?
And what's this about? And she started like looking at
this
during these
2 weeks.
She's
like, holy cow.
Yeah.
And then the secret comes in. She's like, how does she deal with this? Right. Is the mayor involved?
Yeah.
Is this involved?
Because if he's not going to help.
No.
And it was interesting because he was like, our mayor was, he's passed away now, but he used to go with, your guy's aunt. And even though he was married,
right.
Because he was Catholic, so he could not get divorced,
yeah.
But it was, you know, but he went with, they were, you know, that's what Catholics do.
Right.
You know, well, I'm not getting divorced. You can't get divorced. But,
right.
You know, she was living with, Edie,
right.
You know, and, but he was just like, you know, shaking hands with everybody. He's like that guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's would know.
No.
That.
And
that, that this that was they, going on.
I guess he, I don't know if she went to the mayor first or went right to the FBI.
Yeah, I think she went to the FBI first.
And then they cleared him and then brought him involved and saying, you're going to have to all just be, don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
Don't say a word about this.
Yeah.
And you're all going to have to just be this, you know, even.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she got any money for this at the end.
I don't know. For like
a whistleblower.
A reward or
yes.
something.
Because she just retired this year.
And is there a book coming out? I mean, she should write something.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And
sure.
But here's the movie about her. And
right.
I can't think of her name. Kathy?
I don't remember her name either.
But it's interesting to me how only in retrospect, you know, that Julie and I are traveling very early to Walmart one morning.
Yes.
And there's all these cars that don't necessarily are at Walmart.
But they're not FBI cars. You think of FBI cars in the movies, and they're all Suburbans.
They're all black.
And that wasn't it was all. It was like there were some SUVs, there were some like sedans, and there was a minivans. A lot of them were dirty, you know. But the guys were all, women and men, were all pulling out, and they're all putting their FBI.
Their flak jackets.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on?
There's probably about 75
It was amazing that morning.
Yeah.
And then someone said, oh, they're just probably doing some training.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And we thought about following them.
Yeah,
you know,
We should have.
We just kept thinking, who would be in Dixon?
Yeah, what's little Dixon about?
What's going on here that we need this kind of, you know, attention?
Yeah.
And like the biggest crime from a municipality ever.
Ever.
And you know what? She deserved it.
Yeah.
I mean,
so if you guys get a chance
anytime,
to watch the documentary, it'd probably be on Showtime or something.
So here's what I learned
all the
from
Queen's
her.
Horses.
All the Queen's horses. Here's what I learned. Horses, because she was a big time horse people dealer.
Yeah.
They do not make you money.
No.
they take money away.
Yeah.
And she literally took $54 million from a small little community to keep her horses afloat.
Yeah.
So,
and I can always remember
that's why
going
Saudi
by
princes
that property.
Can have horses.
Yeah, and I can remember going by that property and wondering whose house is this, because it was so big,
right?
So enormous, and everything was just the best,
right?
The horses looked beautiful, even the little like sheds where each one had their individual haystacks in, or straw to eat, you know. Everything was just beautiful, and then after she was arrested. We would go and they'd have all her furnishings,
right?
And we would buy, you know, we would make auction bids,
right?
Because she'd have these huge leather sofas and huge leather things that probably were $6,000-$8,000
going for, unfortunately, not garage sale prices.
No, not our, our prices.
I'm like, really? I'm like, it's good quality stuff. I'm like, I don't think so.
We're used to, you got a Gucci bag, but you got a Louis Vuitton bag for about $5 one
$5
time.
At a garage
That's
sale.
That's Dixon.
That's the price I want to go for. And yes, the straps broke, so I don't know if it's real or not. When I took it in, it says, we really don't work on vinyl. Oh, this is vinyl?
That's not, you know, Louis Vuitton might have made some kind of a vinyl thing.
Vinyl strap.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe he did.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Louis Vuitton Junior or Senior. I don't know. So have you ever done a faux pas where you you're thinking it's a good idea at the time, but you're just not sure?
Oh, yeah.
I remember one time I was helping Dad.
Comes back to bite you in the butt.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember delivering cabinets with Dad years and years ago. And I'm on top of the flatbed truck. And this house, I'm in the garage area, has low-hanging wires. And I'm really close to these wires. And I decided to touch one of the wires to see if it was electric or not.
No, you did not.
And Dad, I think, catches me before I do. He goes, you're not planning on touching that wire. Like, I'm debating. I'm like, I want to know if it's electric or not, so I don't keep hitting. You know, I make sure I don't hit it.
Right.
Like you don't think.
Right.
You don't do that by testing it with your hands.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Oh, it's electric. I'm dead. That was a faux pas.
Oh, you're landed on the ground.
Yes.
And it's like peeing on an electric fence.
Exactly. You don't do it. You don't do it. And so you're like, okay. So that was like one of my, that I know, like I'm consciously deciding to do this. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. When you're making a decision, you're like, I'm not totally in the realm of like not making good decisions, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm really consciously deciding to do this. Mm-hmm. And this is going to bite me in the butt, isn't it? It's going to be like one of the worst decisions I've ever made. Even though at the time I'm going, I have all these reasons why I need to make this decision. Mm-hmm. And that turns into like one of the major faux pas of your life. Now, however, being in the realm of coaching and psychotherapy and being spiritually, you know, mature, there are no mistakes, only learning opportunities.
Just lessons.
Except that at some point you're going, I don't know if my life has it in me to make any more bigger faux pas.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I might not be able to recover from them. You know,
you don't have that kind of time.
I don't have that kind of time. Or they may just be like,
to recover.
Like, well, that was so stupid, you ended your life, you know? You know, like that was just,
yeah,
that was dumb, you yeah. know? Like, okay, thinking about the medication I'm on for my Lyme disease,
right?
You know, I've been hearing about Adderall or whatever, like in a kind of like a speed kind of pill, because mm-hmm. my medication makes me really lethargic.
Yeah, yours like goes down
really yeah, it's
slow.
Real low.
And hi, I think, Mom, yeah. I'm on my meds today.
Yes. And
really, Jill, you are.
And then I'm going, maybe I can take some speed.
Yeah.
And for a brief moment, my brain goes, I don't think it'd be a horrible idea. Why would that be a horrible idea? That might be a great idea. You need to balance this out because you really are lethargic and you got a shitload of stuff to do in your
life.
I got
less to do and I don't want to do it. Maybe the Adderall might help in. I don't know.
And then the other part going, this could be the worst decision of your life, mixing these drugs. And no doctor's going to give a prescription for this. It would be literally black market on the down low.
So now you're trying to find somebody to hook you up with Adderall?
For a brief second, I put some feelers out, but nobody's carrying or let me know.
Everybody, you put feelers out for Adderall, can't. You put feelers out for edibles and pot.
Everybody's
got a connection.
Everybody's got a connection.
Yeah.
Because I'm really debating about, and then I go, what can I take? Can I do marijuana with mine? Yeah. Since I've never done it before, because I'm such a nerd. It's crazy. You know, and.
But since we've been putting feelers out, it's amazing.
Yes.
I mean, even our 87-year-old dog trainer.
Yes.
Totally could hook us up.
Oh, for sure.
We have no problem hooking us up.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. They all know.
Yeah.
But we're just not. And I think deep down, I have a guilty conscience. Still, there's a part that says, I will be the one that the cops will come. For whatever reason, I'm wired. You know, they're listening to my conversations.
Yeah.
I'll be the one that knock on the door and I'll have to pee in a cup and I'll be like, they'll be like, oh, you yeah. are testing way high for pot. You're coming in right now. And they're going to throw a book at you.
I just had a gummy bear.
How is this possible?
Joe Rogan was talking about, he was interviewing, I can't remember somebody.
Yeah.
And the guy had gummy bears and they're talking and Joe's like, oh my God, I hope these aren't edibles because the guy's eating way too much.
Yeah, he's eating him like candy.
He's eating like candy. And you're supposed to like take a gummy bear and maybe cut into 4 or 8 right. pieces just to kind of take the edge off. And he's like going, oh my God, this guy's popping these. And at some point he's like, dude, I can't.
I'm way too high.
I know.
I'm uncomfortable. There's a point where he's just going, oh, he's just too high.
Yeah.
Just too high. And why though? I think that's a faux pas. It's a huge faux pas. Like, back in the day, your generation's faux pas, my generation's faux pas, was making candy that looked like cigarettes. Like, that's a major faux pas. Why do that? So why now do we have to have, you know, marijuana and pot or, you know, cannabis come in little gummy bears that look like kid candy?
Everything's a gummy bear. But
I know we have vitamins. I mean, I can't imagine, yes, I have to say, I do take my vitamins more regularly when they come in gummy bears.
Me too.
It's like a little piece of candy.
Me too.
But for children's sake,
yeah.
it's easy to overdose on them.
Yeah.
So why do we do that? I mean, that's a huge faux pas. And we hear nothing about, I came home the other day and my 5-year-old was on the floor, you know, passed out because she was so high.
Oh my
you
God.
Know? And luckily, I don't think you can overdose on marijuana. I mean, that's what they tell you.
Yeah, you probably fall asleep first.
Hopefully. Hopefully. So, I mean, there's just some things I think are faux pas. And you know how you have other faux pas where, like, you go, oh, I need to invest in this because I think 20 years from now the line, this is going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. And other times you're going, oh, this is, like, the worst idea, and it turns out to be a huge, yeah, big deal.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew right away Google was going to be huge.
Yeah.
I should have invested.
Yeah.
I'm stupid, you know, but that's okay. Now, here's the thing. A couple years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I heard, maybe a little longer than that, I heard the word fecal transplant. And I thought, this is the worst idea. Not true. Not true. Worst idea. I don't know who came
to this. Is it April 1st?
Yeah. Are you messing with it? And this person I know, Hillary, she's like, I'm telling the truth. This is now new. It's a fecal transplant. And now, you know, fast forward, I listened to a report last night and they did a twin study. And the twin study was about the microbes in your
gut.
And that they had a skinny twin and a chunkier twin. And the skinnier twin had different microbes in their gut.
Whoa.
Yes. And so what they're saying it do is that
get the skinny twin's poo. Give it to the chunky twin.
Yes. And then like that.
Skinny.
Whoa. Exactly. Now they said there's two ways of doing it. You could put a tube through your nose and down your throat into your gut.
And get your poo that way.
Get the poo that way.
Sorry.
I'm thinking you've got yourself a distribution bottle.
Can you imagine, you know, opening the door and seeing that?
Like, what's going on here?
What's up in your nose? What's
poo?
Poo transplant.
Poo transplant. Like, and then the other one is called
barf bag, please.
Yeah. Are poo capsules.
Oh, now that's more.
Yes. That's more, at least, you know.
Do they go up your butt, the capsules?
No, I think you swallow them. You're smiling.
I prefer it just to go up my butt.
Well, that's what I don't get. Why can't just go that route?
Yeah. Like, you know, like, it has to go through like your CERN, intestines. They have that big, fast, I don't know, they do those electrons real fast to crash them in,
yeah,
at CERN.
Right.
Like, that's how fast you want your poo capsule to go up your butt. Just go boom. Right in there.
Then you want to travel 28 miles or 28
it's
feet.
28 feet.
Yes. Yeah. 28 miles.
To the moon.
To the moon and back. Which is another faux pas. How many times did we hear your intestines are so long, if they pulled them out, they would touch the moon? That's what we heard.
That's what I was preaching back in the day.
Yes, of course. Of course you were. To your children who are now stupid. You know, and once again, the faux pas always goes, and then Chrissy said this, and we're like, oh, okay, well, it's got to be true if Mama says it. Mom says it. It's got to be true because she never, you know.
However, yeah, if you go back in time, right?
Yes.
Everything I've ever said had an element.
Well, see, you
truth.
Never lied.
No.
You just might not have told the truth.
Right.
But you never lied to us. No.
I just might not have told you
the truth because you didn't know.
Right.
At the time, it might have been truthful. Yeah. It might have been right.
Yeah. Yeah, you weren't wrong. Truthiness to it.
But you never lied.
Right.
I, you know.
Like now, when I would scare you guys about becoming, you know, I would say you could end up working in a gas station.
Right.
Now they got benefits.
Yeah.
401ks.
Yeah. You're like, kid job working at the gas station.
Man.
You know, you could maybe own 3 or 4 later in life, take care of you the rest of your life. Yeah.
Add a car wash to
it. Well, exactly.
You know, put a Subway in.
Exactly. You know, before you're like, work on computers, do this, or, you know, but now you're like, oh, do you want to work as a plumber or as an electrician? You know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Now, like, they need them.
Yeah.
So everything's in cycles. Yeah. Everything's in cycles. Yeah. So
order me some of those poop capsules.
I will. And I mean, can you imagine, though?
I have to go to Colorado to get my edibles.
Right.
Although you guys are making a trip in a couple of weeks.
Right.
And then what state can I go to get my poop capsules? To get skinny.
Yeah, exactly. To get skinny. But, I mean, I think that would be awesome if we're finding all these little tricks of the trade to get, like, you know, whatever. And this one doctor, he had his flora counted or whatever. And what he realized is, like, he had, like, 200 times the normal level of E. coli in his gut.
Ooh.
And he said he immediately stopped eating meat immediately.
Oh, really?
Yes. And they said the best way to help your gut out is to have a variety of fermented foods, have a variety of like yogurt. Then kefir is the next level up. And then this thing called kamanchi or something like that. It's like a Korean kind of fermented thing.
What's fermented mean? Is it like vinegar?
I think it means just rotting.
Really?
I think something.
Oh, if you're going to ferment something, just let it rot?
I don't know. It has to be something. My grandma always had kefir.
Right.
And it would always grow. Like, we'd all have some in the morning, and then the next day...
It grew again?
It grew again. And we're like, this stuff's never... Like, we don't ever have to get more kefir, because it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I go, is this right?
It kind of sounds like that sourdough bread recipe.
Yes, exactly.
There's just like one person
that created friendship batter, and we all just keep splitting it. Like, there's got to be some... There's a faux pas in here somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like fruitcakes.
Exactly. We're just
there
all
was
giving,
just one fruitcake and a groove.
Pass through it all. So I was watching the other day, yesterday actually, which I did not know existed, these things called drone races. And I found it fascinating. What it was were these young men in the late teens, early 20s, maybe a little older than in their 20s for sure. And they put on these virtual reality glasses, mm-hmm. which made them look... And then this is real life stuff, which then they can control a drone, a small drone. But
a real life drone?
Yes, small, real life. And they would go really, really fast. And it would have to go through these like triangles and circles and all this stuff. And they would go super duper fast. And it would be done in different places, like in the Isle of Man, mm-hmm. which I talked to you about before.
Yes.
Which is...
where they have those motorcycle races.
Like, yes.
And real motorcycle races.
Yes. Yeah. And through the town and through the island, and you can go as fast as you want. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like the faux pas for that is there's a good chance you're not going to make it alive.
People die every year.
People die every year. Yeah. It's like climbing
and
Mount Everest.
And some of the people are just... watching the race
die, and everybody's okay with it.
Yeah,
it's like it is our freedom.
It's kind of like the running
this.
Of the bulls shit. Huh? Running of the bulls.
Yes, you go. You're at one point going, "What is the point of this?"
Yeah,
you know, really, what is the point? Well, to get your adrenaline pumping. You know.
Yeah, I like that commercial that goes, "The running of the bulldogs."
Yeah, I'll do that.
I'll do that one.
I will sign me up for that one. You know, for sure. And then, also, like they had a match. You know that airplane cemetery in Arizona.
Yeah, I've been there.
I think it's in Arizona, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, they had it there.
I've been
and
there.
They like these drones would go in and outside of airplanes that are just.
Now, is this real or is this just in your virtual reality?
Okay,
world?
You're seeing it, but it's really happening.
It's really happening in the real world.
Yes.
But okay, you're in Chicago.
No, you have to be close enough to it. So let's say you're you know, if it happened in Dixon, Illinois, you'd have to be in Dixon, Illinois.
Got it.
But you didn't have to be next to your drone.
Got it.
Because you couldn't. Mm-hmm. You could be like 100 feet away, 200 feet away, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting in a chair because you still need quick enough time replay. I think if you were too far away, mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd have enough time, you know, mm-hmm. maybe a delay in time. I could be wrong,
Very
though.
Very interesting. But they were at the Isle of Man, though.
Yes.
So they were in there, in the Isle of Man.
Yes. And so were the drones.
Got it.
And then I thought to myself, you know... We're getting so good at making these drones smaller. I mean, the problem with the drones, though, they do interact with the wind because they are very light. Mm-hmm. So if they have wind issues, you know, they're getting blown off course. Mm-hmm. It's a big mess, all this stuff. But then I thought, and a lot of them would just crash because of that.
Because of the wind?
Because of the wind.
Wow.
And you're like, oh, I'm out of the race.
Did they know
lost.
That their drone crashed in their virtual reality
yeah,
world?
Yeah, they would see it. They
Got
would,
it.
They see what really is happening.
Got it.
But you're not looking at the world because you're not that close. You're not looking at the world through your real eyes. You're looking at through the drone camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like you're flying through these things,
right.
You know, and it's pretty awesome. And I thought, what if we combine the two, you know, of the poo capsules and the drones? Like a doctor would come in and he put his virtual reality glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the capsule, we would be a camera and maybe a little bit of a propeller in the back, a little tiny one, maybe soft edges, like plastic edges
uh-huh.
or something.
In the capsule.
Yeah. You know, like those fans that blow wind, but if you touch it, it just stops.
Oh, sure.
And it's almost like felt.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. So it doesn't hurt you.
Yeah. So it would have like a propeller like that in the back of this capsule.
Got it.
Very small because they can make things really small now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would have a camera, and then you had a propeller, and, the doctor would put the glasses on, and then it would, like, literally travel. The poop capsule would travel, and the doctor might release a little poop here in this part of the colon, because it needs a little, you know.
Yeah, good idea.
And it might release a little poop here in this part of your colon, mm-hmm. and it keeps traveling down the 28 feet, and it might take, I don't know, maybe it takes 5 minutes per foot. I don't know.
Because he's taking his time.
Or maybe he might get, maybe he'd get cocky too. And he'd
or maybe
fast.
He's having a race with another doctor.
Oh my God. And you've got two guys.
Two patients.
And wouldn't it be weird if
two
you
doctors.
Go, you went to like a clinic and it was called the poop clinic.
Just like you do with acupuncture.
Yes.
In acupuncture clinics, they're just sitting around.
Oh, yes.
Because, I mean, I know one of my friends, her daughter owns mm-hmm. a acupuncture clinic, and it's called family acupuncture.
Right.
And by that term, it's like you don't have your own room.
Right.
It's like you have a big room and yeah. everybody's in there, little recliners, you know, reading the newspaper, chatting, yes. and they're having family acupuncture.
Well,
so this is family poop capsules.
Yes. Family. So it'd be family poo clinic.
Yes. The family poop clinic.
And so
I want to sign up for that.
And the truth is, it could be the biggest faux pas ever.
Yeah.
Or it could be a major success.
Yeah.
And I'm all in for it.
You're ready for it.
But you know, here's the thing too. I want to say
Dixon, Illinois, first side of the family. Yeah, Dixon, Illinois. First side of the family poop clinic.
Yes. I'm all in. Yeah. And if it's a faux pas, it's just not
let
the right
be.
Time.
Let yeah.
it be. Well, girlfriend, how did the show today?
I thought it was pretty great.
I thought it was great, too. It was great.